Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing?
Recovering from my boat race sunburn.
Absolutely. There were a couple of those around our house also. We had, oh my gosh, I think we had six or seven guests in from out of town, and many of them their first boat race experience.
Oh boy.
Which was awesome. And my kids are getting to that age now where they really enjoy it. So they spent some time down there with their friends. But yeah, I did have a couple lobsters, even though they, you know, I gave them the warning, but they came back a little red like you, McKay.
Yeah.
Well, we have with us, we always like to have with us our in-house lending specialist and past president of the Water Follies, Mike Denslow. How are you?
I'm good. I survived. My wife gets all of the goop on me so I don't get sunburned, but just the heat took it out of me this year. Oh, my gosh. You know, 3 days.
Yeah.
All day down there. It took all week for me to feel better.
As they say, dog days of summer, we are definitely have been getting the heat for sure. Well, one of the things we always like to do before we jump into our, as I would say, legitimate local real estate stories, we always like to give you one crazy national story. And this one's kind of a fun one this week. Coming out of Variety.com, I was able to pull up. It looks like the Brady Bunch house in LA Studio City is now for sale. So this was one of showbiz's most recognizable houses, ran in the 1970s sitcom The Brady Bunch. First time this home has been on the market in 45 years, and 2,500 square foot house has actually, the way it's been done inside, not very Brady Bunch-ish, but it just has two larger bedroom suites, one up and one down, and three bathrooms. So it's only a two-bedroom, three-bath house, which seems anti-Brady Bunch to me. Where did all those kids go, McKay?
Garage.
Well, in all actuality, if you read into the story, the exterior of the house was used for the shots. The interior was not the interior of this home. That was filmed on studio location.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting, and it was interesting in the story. They notated, the Douglas Elliman broker notated that it's in a neighborhood that is commonly known for developers to build and tear down homes. But they did say that the owners are giving first consideration to bidders that want to keep the home intact. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, we actually ran a show about why the highest bid doesn't always get the house, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And yep. So here now in a completely different market is a perfect example of why that might be the case. Now, when we did that show a couple of weeks ago, I did not have as one of the reasons that you owned the Brady Bunch house. But
no,
it looks like we could have put that on there. So yeah. that's one of the, that is our crazy celebrity real estate story of the week. On to another topic, and I will tell you, McKay, I don't want to give the wrong impression with today's topic. Everybody that knows me knows that I am 120% positive, optimistic person, but I'm also a realist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you look back in history over our last 10 to 11 to 12 years, a lot of people miss some common signs by ignoring data that they should be looking into.
I've heard you like to crunch numbers.
Absolutely. So I did have the pleasure. Karen and I were able to catch a quick flight last week. We ran down to Austin, Texas. Austin is really a hub of some big time economists, authors, large real estate companies located and headquartered there. We were able to meet with some industry experts that paint a picture of the housing market changing a little bit. And we don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but we haven't seen a change in a long time. And so for today's show, I kind of went back and one of the things I put down as the title, and I talked to Mike about this before the show, and that's properly pricing your home in a changing market. And we really haven't had a super changing market for about 2.5 years. As you know from listening to the show, we generally have been running at a range of around 500 homes on the market. And you've heard me scream about this, that this is just not sustainable.
You want the 6-month supply.
Nor is it a balanced market. And it definitely depends on your perspective and what you're looking for. We have noticed that supply is finally starting to creep back up. We're right at about 700 homes on the market, which is still drastically in the favor of sellers. So it still is a seller's market, but now it's starting to change. And when it starts to change, that's when you have to go back to the fundamentals that a lot of people end up missing. And then if we look nationally with what's going on, mm-hmm. for the first time and probably once again nationally 2.5 years, we're seeing some national data that's pointing to the fact that the market potentially could slow a little bit. And one of the things you have to be careful of is, how am I pricing my home? So over the course of the last 6 to 9 months, we kept talking about new record pricing. So we'd talk about 3-bedroom, 2-bath in West Pasco, and then we'd see, oh my gosh, it's gone up from 175. Now it's 180. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think we should price it at next week? And we would look and say, well, there's no other homes on the market, so the last one sold for 185. We could try 190, but we don't know if it's going to appraise. And so there was a lot of unknowns in that situation that we were dealing with. Well, now we're finally to a point where interest rates have ticked up a little bit. Now we're getting a little bit more inventory on the market. Mm-hmm. And there's some leading indicators that we start to see that a lot of people in the market don't know about. So you don't hear them talk about it. And so when I say leading indicators,
that would be the stats.
What do I mean by that? Well, one very common of it is we do a high number of closings. And so in my office, when I look at the closings and I meet with my closing coordinators weekly, we talk about issues, opportunities, threats. We kind of do our SWOT analysis. What's going on in your department? Over the course of the last 5 months, I have not even heard them breathe about an appraisal issue. It's just like the world was just hunky-dory, big mm-hmm. smiles, close them, show up. Over the course of the last month, we've seen 6 or 7 appraisal issues. So that's an early warning sign that we're seeing the market and some of the pricing overextend where the market actually is. And so there's a lag there, right? So the appraisers are looking at the prices, the sellers are setting listing prices that don't have comparable data, and now finally they've overextended it enough that the market has caught up to that a little bit. And so I'm like, so you start to notate all these. All of a sudden, I haven't seen an agent send out a price reduced flyer in 4 or 5 months. Why? Because there's such low inventory, everything's selling. All of a sudden, you open up Lance Kenmore's inbox and you've got agents from 20 different firms in the Tri-Cities. All of a sudden, you start getting price reduced flyers that
because
show up.
Because the inventory has crept up, so the prices are going to come back down.
Yes, and so if I break this down really, really simply, that when the market is a drastically, drastically, drastically seller's market, when it's when there's just nothing to choose from, I mean, this is oversimplifying it, but McKay, you pretty much just make up what price you want.
Yeah.
Because you know somebody's
going to buy it.
Because there's no other choices. So if there, you know, this, I mean, goes back to economics 101. If there's no other choices, what can we do? Well, we can get what we want to get. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is part of that pushes the envelope. It pushes appreciation. But now maybe there are some choices. Now maybe you do have two choices instead of zero.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you have to do? You have to go back to some of the basics. You have to look at these comparable prices. And so you have to go back a month and a half or 2 months in a hot, hot market and say, what have these actually closed for? I'm looking at putting my house on the market. I'm going to look at the data. What have the last two or three really good comparables closed for? What does that data look like? What's the average of those? What's the price per square foot been? What were the amenities they had? And we make a really good comparable analysis to your house, and we use those comparables to determine the price. So what
I actually understood that.
And what happens is that takes more skill. It takes more skill. So the skilled agents that are coming out, the ones you're talking to, the ones you're hiring, there's a lot of agents that are so new in our market, they've never even had to do this. They just got their license and started making up prices. And so I'm kind of oversimplifying that a little bit, but
I'm in the wrong business.
But now you're really having to look at, what's the data pointing towards? How can I still maximize your value, but do the best thing for you as a seller? Mm-hmm. Number one is play close attention to that market analysis. Have a good discussion with the agent that's in your home. Look at those comparables. Because at the end of the day, when we're going to have to answer to that when we talk to Mike Denslow at Home Street. So, McKay, I get really passionate about these subjects. I think you're going to tell me we're coming up on our first break already.
Yeah, just a little
and
bit.
And I haven't even let Mike Denslow talk, and so I really am feeling bad about that. But, Mike, we're going to go to break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to the listeners about how you have to be the bearer of bad news sometimes and be accountable to those comparables in lending.
Right here.
That's
on Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking today about properly pricing your home in a changing market. We're definitely seeing some data that's starting to indicate a little bit. We kind of watch the graphs and the trends, and we kind of see a little bit where we might have hit a peak as far as price appreciation and lack of supply of homes. It looks like there's early indications that we're moving towards a little bit more of a balanced market. I personally am extremely happy about that and some of the choices that we can provide. We have a number of buyers we've been working for the last year and a half that are finally getting some opportunities to get into the market. So it's a kind of a dichotomy of reporting today, because on one hand, I'm saying the market appreciation is starting to slow a little bit, and we've had, granted, the best 3 years we've had out of the last 25. So this is not a problem. But then on the other hand of that, just looking at the raw data, we also had one of the biggest months of closings we ever had. Because of that change, we're able to get more of those buyers that have been on the sidelines back into the market. So it's really a great, great thing for us and the buyers that we're working with. But one of the things we have to do is we just have to watch to make sure when you do go to sell your house for various reasons, it could be job transfer, it could be lifestyle change, that we're properly pricing in that changing market. Before the break, we talked about using good comparables in that pricing structure, and I was going to have Mike jump in and talk a little bit about what he ends up seeing as the results of that on his side of the table with lending.
Yeah, the appraisal is key, and I know you mentioned it earlier, you know, we have appraisal issues, and it's not so much that there's an issue with the appraisal, it's just that the values aren't coming in at the prices that people think the home is worth.
So oh my gosh, Mike, thank you for clarifying that. I guess, you know, this is why it's good to have the perspective of a lender and an agent. Yeah, when I say issue with the appraisal, what I'm meaning, and it's just not coming out of my mouth right, I didn't get enough sleep last night, is that there it can cause an issue in the deal. But Mike's right, the appraisal is probably perfectly valid. It's just not at the price that the buyer and seller thought the house would sell for. Thank you for that, Mike.
And that's because of the pressure, right? You've listed your home at $225,000 and somebody has said they're willing to pay $230,000 and somebody else has said at $235,000 and somebody else even said $240,000. And so you agree to this $240,000 price when everyone knows that it might not appraise for that. And on the lending side, we're dealing with, all banks are dealing with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA, and they will only lend on the purchase price or the appraised value, which is ever lower. So if it comes back and appraises at that 225 mark, then that's what we're going to lend on. And then, obviously, Lance, you can talk about what happens when it appraises low.
Yeah, and just because, you know, I mean, just because the appraiser might not think it's worth $240,000, but the buyer and seller both agree it is, that really is just a baseline amount of how much of a loan you can get on it. If you still believe for your personal reasons, for your family reasons, for maybe additional upgrades you can't get anywhere else, if you still believe it's worth $240,000, and you have the extra cash to make up the difference, there's nobody out there saying you can't. It's just a warning from the bank through their eyes. That's how they see it. Mm-hmm. If you still want to proceed with the deal, you can negotiate out some terms or you can bring in the extra cash to make up the difference. We end up working on a lot of those negotiations, and the majority of the time we come out with a solution that works for everybody at the end.
And it's something, Lance, that obviously we've seen in the last year or so that wasn't in a balanced market, you don't really see, right?
Yep.
But with the quick appreciation, we've seen a lot more of it. I think that we're still hopefully appreciating at the right pace, but that's when you see the 6 or 7 that you guys have seen in the last month. That's because the appreciation is outpacing the rest of the sales. And the appraiser's got the problem of justifying that price.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like I say, it's really interesting because we deal with a lot of those issues at the same time, increasing volume. I mean, I think we're looking at a pace of transactions, and I know how busy you've been, Mike, and I know when we look at our numbers as one of our largest months of the year, closing out this last week in July, it was just incredible. So don't get me wrong when we talk about that. Yeah, maybe appreciation goes from 12% to 8%. I'd have to look at my New Year's predictions, McKay, to see how close I am. But yeah, it's still very, very good. It's just different, which requires a next level of analysis. And we're constantly working on that analysis with our sellers to figure out, you know, what's the best place for you to be? And another thing that brought this up is, you know, we took a new listing 2 weeks ago, and it had started at, say, I'll just make up some numbers that are pretty close, but it had started at, you know, 400, and it was with another firm, and they called us when they got to 370, and they just said, I don't know what's going on. I've heard on the radio, I've heard from other agents, this is the best market we've been in. We take a hard look at the analysis and comps, and for instance, in that case, our number comes up that the high number in that situation is 360. Based upon available data. So we're scratching our head. We have no idea how this has happened. We present our presentation. We fire up our marketing machine. We have a marketing launch. We have 7 showings and we're sold in 2 days. So, you know, there's still the, once you properly price into the band of pricing that you're supposed to be at, mm-hmm. and you combine that with the right marketing, we're still selling houses in record number of days. And so, but you have to have that analysis piece. Even if you choose to push that a little bit, we're a strong, strong believer in having that analysis piece for sure. The other thing that we recommend to sellers is looking at the price range that online searches are happening in. A lot of times we see people say, I only want to purchase a house that is up to 300. Well, in the past, maybe you only search up to 300. But what if someone's priced a house at 303? And so you might completely miss that in your searching criteria. And McKay's giving me a funny look that said, why would anybody ever price their house at 303? Wouldn't they just put it at 300 or 305? McKay, I don't know. Why do people have pink houses? I don't know. Like, you and I can't understand pink houses, but they're out there.
Yes.
Same type of thing in pricing is sometimes we have to look at different online search ranges and say, did we miss? You know, are you missing your perfect house because we didn't look to 305? And maybe we pick up two or three houses. Now, that's counseling that we're giving to a buyer. On the flip side, counseling we're giving to a seller could be, for instance, I know you want to be at 303 because you added that extra $3,000 worth of patio out back when you expanded it. But if we're at 303, we're missing potentially a, 18% of the market that will only look up to 300. We need a price. I know you spent $3,000 on that patio. I love that cement. It's gorgeous, but we're not going to love missing that 18% of the market by not pricing at 300. And that's a difficult conversation to have with somebody. But we need to have it and say, we're balancing our time on the market versus the number of offers we may get versus the reality of a changing market. So these are the conversations that we've been having extensively over the last 2 weeks that have changed in tone a little bit than they have the previous 6 months. And so really wanted to get that down as the show. Mike, on the lending side of things, I mean, I just know how busy you've been. What else do we need to know about what's going on with Home Street and the lending world?
Well, with Home Street, we have our hydroplane in the Seafair race this weekend. We had our hydroplane down here racing last weekend. Didn't have the success that we wanted. Our driver, Jimmy Shane, ended up cutting somebody off and getting knocked down a few spots, but that was unfortunate. With the lending side, we're still going like gangbusters. It goes back to those shows that we had in May and June and all those people that wanted to be in before the school year started. Mm-hmm. And we've got a bundle of closings in August like we did in July as well with you. And I think the terms are, you know, the rates are still historic lows. They're maybe not at the lowest low, but they're still good. I think people are still buying houses and moving here. In the last week, we had South Carolina, Las Vegas. We had people moving here from all over the place. So Tri-Cities is still growing. We still need houses for people to buy.
Okay, that sounds good. Real quick, before we all come up against our heartbreak and get out of here, I talked about inventory increasing. I've got a quick pick three. Mm-hmm. Brand new on the market, 578 Heritage Hills in South Richland. This is a 3559 square foot, absolutely beautiful house. Five bedrooms, three bath, tons of attention to detail, dream kitchen, granite counters, absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous South Richland location, sunset views. This is just one of those estate type amazing properties, and it's $540,000. So absolutely new to the Kenmore team. Great listing. Pick number two, 4709 West 14th. Don't see this often in this price point. This is a four bedroom, three bath, West Kennewick location, backs up to Highlands Grange Park, 1942 square feet, and that is coming in at $260,000. You've got an amazing back gate in the fence that gives you access to that park, so it's like you're quadrupling the size of your yard without having to pay for it, or more importantly, you don't have to mow it, McKay.
Exactly.
And $260,000. I mean, that's a price point that is just awesome inventory for what we've been talking about on the show. And then pick number three, this might as well be a brand new house. It feels like a 2700 Greyhawk Loop. This is out in Horn Rapids community, which is expanding. There's a lot of activity out there. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic location close to North Richland. A really awesome space. 2697 square feet. You've got great room design, beautiful living area, gorgeous open kitchen that has quartz countertops, large family room on the upper level, guest suite on the main level with private access to a three-quarter bath, large covered patio that has golf course views. I mean, this place is dialed in, and that's coming in at $479,900. So,
wow.
Great new inventory on the market. Please go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message. If you need to get pre-qualified, we'll get you hooked up with Mike Denslow at Home Street. And if you need to look for houses, we have agents standing by. KenmoreTeam.com. And like always, hopefully a little bit cooler, but we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.